Good morning. We are going to talk today about, it's called Delightful Direction. We're going to focus on God directing our paths and some aspects of it and what a delightful life that gives us when we just look to God and allow Him to direct our paths. And we'll start with a very well-known verse. And of course, this is stuff we look at from time to time, but I checked the notes and we haven't looked at it for quite a while, so it's about time we went back and took a look at this. Here in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, here we go. We read here in Proverbs 3 and verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding." Now that's a biggie, because we try to understand stuff in our life, and God gave us brains, and we should try to figure stuff out. And there are some things in life we can figure out, but there's a whole lot that's frankly beyond us. And even if we think we have it figured out, we couldn't possibly ever have the whole picture, because God's the only one that can see everything going on in our lives. And even if He gives us revelation about something to do, that's for a specific situation. So no matter how well we have things figured out, we shouldn't rely entirely on our own understanding. We should trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. Well, what's that mean in practical daily life? It means that no matter what you're doing tomorrow on Monday, whether you're going to work, working at home, taking the day off, going to meetings, doing a project, driving around, whatever it is you're doing, sure, you try to figure it out and plan it, but you trust God that He will help you through it, and you don't rely entirely on your understanding. You figure it out the best you can, but then you just trust that God will come fill in the gaps. Perhaps it's sort of like a ball game where I'm running down the field with the ball, or kicking the field down the ball if I'm playing soccer. And I'm doing my best to get in the goal, but I know I may not be able to get it all the way. I may get halfway to the goal and have to pass it off to somebody else and let them finish the play. Well, it's sort of like that in our lives. We do the best we can, but the time comes where we've taken the ball as far as we can take it, and then we just pass it off to God and ask Him to finish it. And we have to do that in every part of life. We have to do what we can do, but then ultimately we trust in the Lord and don't rely on our understanding. We use our understanding, but our confidence is in God. And then verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and everything you do, you just look to God, you trust God, you thank Him, you praise Him, you know He's there, and all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall," what? "Direct thy paths." God is going to direct your paths, or make smooth, or straighten out your paths, so you're not... I mean, picture yourself going through a really rocky, twisty mountain path as opposed to a nice, smooth, flat, paved walkway. Well, that's what God will do. He'll just smooth the way before you. Look at verse 7. "Be not wise in thine own eyes." Sometimes you bump into people who think they're just so dang smart. And they might be pretty smart. But they can only go so far on their smarts. I'd much rather acknowledge the brains God's given us, but realize our brains are limited and God's isn't. So we trust God to do way more than you and I can figure out. "So be not wise in thine eyes, fear, respect the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy narrow, to thy marrow, to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones." So great things. We trust the Lord with all our heart. Lean not to our own understanding, and all our ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our paths. Now, as we've talked before, so you trust God and God shows you basically where to go. He directs your paths. He makes the path smooth. You know where to go. You know what to do. But then it wouldn't be any good if you did all that and then starved to death. Well, God won't just direct your paths. Philippians 4:19. Here we go. Philippians 4 and verse 19. "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." We know this, and we've read the context about giving and receiving and trusting God. But look at that. God says he'll supply all our need according to his riches and glory. So not only will God get you to the right place with a smooth path, but then when you get there and you're going the right direction in life, he'll supply everything you need to keep going. We've all, you know, gotten on the road and gone places, but it's sure nice to have a few extra dollars to stop for a sandwich or a hamburger or a cup of coffee or whatever it is you like when you're traveling. It'd be tough if you, like Peter, obviously had a pretty long ride from Missouri to Florida, but I'm sure God provided for him so he could stop and get a snack along the way. That'd be tough to go all that distance, and then God provided so he could get an apartment or a room in a house or whatever kind of housing he worked out. So God not only gets you to the right place, but he gives you what you need when you get there. But then the next question to ask is, so God gets you to the right place, he gives you what you need, but what if you get there and you're miserable? I hate it here. Well, God has that covered in Psalm 37. Psalm 37. God challenges us with what to do, and if we do, then we're going to enjoy ourselves. Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Psalm 37, 3. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So if you trust in the Lord and do good, you live well according to his word, you'll get to live in your house and eat. Which, as we've said many times, if you look at all of history and even many places today, is a big deal. Because lots of times they were at war most of the time, and marauding bands were coming in and stealing from them. So the very fact that you can live in your house and eat is a big deal. But then look at verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Go beyond simply trusting in the Lord and get delighted about the things of God. Get excited about God's going to bring deliverance and supply to me today. He's going to direct my paths. I can't wait to see what great things God has in store for me today. I'm excited. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, as we've talked before, the word heart is the innermost part of your being. It's what you really want deep down inside. People may want a new flashy car, but what they really want deep down inside is recognition. They want people to say, that guy's really successful, or he's really cool, and when he thinks that getting the car will do it. Or they may want some other thing for some similar reason. But it's what you want deep down in your heart that God will supply. And that's where we don't limit God. Just pray that God will give you the things that give you the desires of your heart. It might be a new car. It might be a new job. It might be, like Peter, a new place to live. It might be a new friend. It might be somebody that you can help with God's word. It might be somebody that can help you with God's word. It could be anything. But whatever it is that deep down in your heart is really going to bring you the fulfillment you want, God's going to give you that. We get delighted about the things of God. And so many times we get disappointed when we limit God. We decide, I'll be happy if this circumstance works out that way, or if that person over there does this, or if some other situation I want works out, and that's when I'll be happy. But for a lot of reasons, it doesn't happen. Often it's not because God doesn't want to help you, but God depends on other people's freedom of will. And if the only way you're going to be happy and fulfilled is to get something where the other parties don't want to cooperate, no matter how much God tries to work in their hearts, you're not going to get that. But that doesn't mean God can't do something else for you. In a different situation, that's even better. So that's why we delight ourselves in the Lord, and he'll give us the desires of our hearts, the things you want deep down inside. Just don't limit God to one set of circumstances. You know, you may really want to be financially prosperous, so money's not a worry for you. Okay, well, pray for that. Don't get upset, though, if the first three jobs fall through, or the first two investments don't work, or something else, because God has other jobs. He has other investments. He has other ways to take care of you. So just look to God and pray for what you really want, which is financial stability, and then God will find a way to get you that financial stability if that's what you really want. And the same with any other thing in your life you may be looking for. Then verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. And this is that word roll. Like you got this big burden on your shoulders, like Atlas holding the world on his shoulders. Roll it over onto the Lord. So it's off your shoulders and on his. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Okay, so God will direct your paths. He will supply your needs, and he will give you the things that deep down in your heart you really want. You just can't get distracted by the one or two things in life you want that aren't actually available right now. God has many other things that are available that he will take care of. Proverbs 16:3. Proverbs 16 and verse 3. Commit, or again, roll thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Just take them off your shoulders and give them to the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Whatever it is that you're thinking about, that you're praying for according to God's word, roll it over on the Lord, and then just don't worry about it. And that's just such a great way to live. Just walk out the door every morning praying for a great day, saying, Lord, I don't know what you got in store for me today, but I'm ready. And then just keep your eyes open. And rather than spend your time worrying about why that certain set of circumstances isn't happening the way you want, just say, it's okay. God will find a set of circumstances that works great for me, and he'll take care of me. James 1, verse 5. Galatians, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James. James 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, give up. Admit you're stupid and surrender. No. There are a lot of people that will say that. That's not what God says. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He openly, liberally, freely gives to people, and he doesn't upbraid. You know, he doesn't say, that was a stupid question. Why are you asking? No. If you lack wisdom, ask of God, and giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Very similar to what we read in Proverbs. You trust in the Lord, and he'll direct your paths. You need wisdom? Ask the Lord. So the next time you find yourself in a situation that isn't quite working out when you've tried the best you can, well, just ask God, what do I do here? He may tell you, or he may just open a door, or you may just have to pray and wait. But he'll come through for you. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let's go to Psalm 1. A wonderful psalm about trusting in the Lord, meditating on his word. A wonderful life is when we do that. Psalm 1. Okay, Psalm 1. It's not a long psalm, so I think we'll read the whole thing. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, remember we read earlier that if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. But his delight, verse 2, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, the word of God, doth he meditate day and night. That's just what he thinks about. So if you want to be blessed and happy, just think about the truths in God's word. You can do it by reading the word, listening to teachings, or just pick two or three verses that really mean a lot to you and just think about them. Quote them to yourselves. People do that are into sports teams. They know all the statistics on a certain team and the batting average of this guy, or whether this guy's, you know, how many pass completions he had, or pick any other statistic you want. People just know those things because they think about them. Well, let's just do that with God's word. Pick a couple verses that really mean something to you and just meditate on them, think about them. As I've told you, sometimes I've had a tough time mentally and I've had to look myself in the mirror and point my finger at myself and quote verses till it got through my head. There are other ways to do it, but whatever it takes to get that Word of God in your head, you do that. I'm sure you'll have your technique. You may, you can read them into your phone and play them back to yourself. You can do that. You can, write them out and stick them on your mirror. So when you're brushing your teeth, you're meditating on the Word. You can do 100 things. Make it your screensaver on your computer. Whatever it does, whatever you need to do to remind yourself of the Word of God, to meditate on it, to think about it. So verse 2, his law is delight. This blessed man is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which is obviously the figure of speech, meaning he's where the nourishment is. The climate and the terrain in the Bible lands is not so much like the East Coast where we are, where we have too much water. It was more like the West Coast where they have too little water. You can drive through Utah or parts of Colorado or Nevada and drive for an hour and see nothing but dirt, rocks, and occasional cactus. Then all of a sudden there's all of these green trees. And you go up and it's because there's a river. And the trees that are planted by the river, they're doing great because they have a source of nourishment. The ones in the middle of the rest of the desert, there's nothing there. So instead of being upset that there's not much nourishment and I can't find what I need, just focus on God's Word, meditate on it, and then you're tapped into that resource. You're tapped into that resource. It's like you, even though you're living in the desert, you dug a well and you're bringing water up. And it doesn't matter how dry everything else is, you're getting what you need. So he, verse 3, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of the water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And look at this, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Because this person that meditates on God's word is going to the source. He's going to the source of prosperity, of wisdom, of success. So he can draw out from God's word everything he needs to succeed in life. Now here's what we don't want to do. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3. It's just a matter of looking to the Lord and allowing him to direct our paths. Malachi 3. Just before Matthew, last book in the Old Testament. Malachi 3:11. And I will rebuke, and this is talking about people have been robbing God by not giving back to God. But he says, when you do that, verse 11, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord. So God's going to rebuke the devourer. We look to God, we live his word. There is a devourer, but God's going to rebuke him. Psalm 53. Now we're going to switch to just some practical things about how to help focus our thoughts on God's word here. Psalm 53. It's in here somewhere. It's after Job. Psalm 53. Here we go. Actually, it's Psalm 5. We'll get to verse 3. That's where I got the 53. All these fun numbers. Psalm 5 and verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. So, Lord, listen. Listen to me. Consider that I'm thinking about you. Hearken, verse 2, unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. Look at this, verse 3. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. There was a TV show years ago called Look Up and Live. Great title. You look up to God, you live. Well, that's what we need to do. We need to, every morning, pray for a great day. I know you got to make sure the coffee's going, you got to decide which shoes to put on, and you got to decide whether you're going to pack your lunch or come back for lunch or eat lunch out. And so we all have decisions we have to make every day, but our first decision should be to pray for a great day. Pray for a great day. Pray for the saints. Look to God. And again, find those couple of verses that really help you. If you're feeling a little beaten down, you know, quote verses like, I am more than a conqueror. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. If you're feeling sort of broke, you know, find verses like, you know, my God shall supply all your need, and God will give you sufficiency in all things. If you're feeling like you don't know what to do, then take verses like, God will direct my paths. And if I ask God of wisdom, he'll give it to me. So whatever it is you're up to that week, find that couple of verses that really hits the nail on the head and pray. And remember not to limit God. Just pray for what you need. And it's okay to say, I'd really like it to be this job I get. But if that's not available, I know you'll get me a better one. Just don't limit yourself to that one job or that one person or that one circumstance. Realize God will come through for you mightily one way or another. But in the morning, I'll direct my prayer unto thee. Psalm 27. Great things here in the scripture, isn't it? Just love looking at these things. Psalm 27 and verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Verse 9. Hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Lead me in a plain path, a nice straight way that's really obvious. I can't handle it if everything's all crooked and confusing. Lead me in a nice plain path or smooth path. I've been on a pretty rocky road, Lord. Give me a nice smooth path because of mine enemies. Verse 12, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathed out cruelty. Now look at verse 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I just couldn't handle stuff, so I prayed, and I believed to see the goodness of the Lord. And that's a good thing you have to do. You can just pray. Say, Lord, show me your goodness. You know that... I think it was that record in with Jehoshaphat where they go out to fight. God just said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I'm going to fight this battle for you. And I remember in tough situations in life just praying, Lord, I want to see the salvation of the Lord. And you know what? It always worked out. God always came through. What was an impossible situation for me, somehow God figured out a way to make it work. And that's just the way our Heavenly Father is. And we've all seen that happen. The key is, when you get in that tough situation, pull your mind and your emotions, and sometimes your physical self, away from that tough situation. Step back, get some perspective, and realize, wait a minute, I know things look bad here, but God's much bigger than this. So he's going to come through for me. And just expect and accept that God will come through for you in amazing ways. So, verse 14, wait on the Lord. And this is, of course, waiting with expectation. Wait on the Lord, expecting him to take care of you. Be of good courage, and he shall what? Strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So we want to pray that he'll lead us in a plain path, and we want to wait with expectation on the Lord. Psalm 118. Now, here's the great key. We all have to work with people. Sometimes at home, sometimes on the job, sometimes in fellowship, sometimes in other situations. And we should work with people, and we should love them. But our trust is always in God, and that's the key. Psalm 118, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy, his steadfast love, endures how long? Forever. Let Israel know that his mercy, his steadfast love, endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let them that now fear, reverence the Lord, say that his steadfast love endures forever. Awesome. Loving kindness, a steadfast love endures forever. Verse 5, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. I was sort of constrained, like I was locked in the closet or under the bed or in some tiny, tiny uncomfortable place. And God put me out in a big open place where I wouldn't be constrained. Verse 6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? That's a good question. What can man possibly do unto me? Verse 7, the Lord taketh my part with them that help me, therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And that's true. We love people, we work with people, we enjoy their company, we try to help them, we're thankful when they try to help us, but ultimately our trust is in the Lord. Then look at verse 9, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Now that's a big deal. So it's one thing to have your confidence in people, you know, the average guy in the street you talk to, but what about having confidence in the big shots? You know, the government leaders, the captains of industry, the boss, the big boss, all those people. You can work with them, you can be kind to them, but your trust is in the Lord. Because sooner or later, everybody's going to let you down one way or another, because they're people, they're made out of dust. But the Lord never will. So that's why we work with people, we work with leaders, we work with princes, so to speak, but our trust is always in the Lord. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Verse 3, thou compassest, you surround my path and my lying down and aren't acquainted with all my ways. So whether you're walking and going somewhere or lying down at home, God has you surrounded. Remember that great record with Elisha and, you know, in Dothan and the chariots of fire surrounding the city? Well, that was before they were even born again. We have it even better with God and Christ in us. So God has himself. He has his son making intercession for us. He has angels running around doing his bidding. In every way, God protects us. So when you feel you're all alone and nothing's working, realize God has you surrounded and protected. You know, we like to see things on TV. Sometimes it's real life. More often it's movies and shows where some big shot's going around with eight guys with heavily armed surrounding him. And they always make sure the guards are just a little bit taller than the dignitary. So if anybody gets shot, it's not the dignitary. They're about the same size. They don't want to be so big they make the dignitary look like a shrimp, but got to be like an inch higher. So they're very good. Well, and you think, boy, it'd be cool to have all that protection. Well, we got better than that. And it's not just protecting you from assassins, because I don't know about you, but very few assassins care about me. They got other people that are worth to worry about. But there's a devil, there's bad circumstances, there's mean people. We all have those every day. But God protects us. So what do I have to worry about? He's surrounding me. What's that other verse that, you know, something, wisdom and mercy shall follow thee all the days of thy life. So you are being followed. So if you want to get paranoid about being followed, okay. But it's God's kindness and wisdom and mercy that's following you. I'd much rather have that. I mean, some people go on a trip and they got these big old motorhomes and like they're hauling a boat or they're hauling a car or they're hauling a trailer with more junk that couldn't fit in the motorhome. And they love to have that trailing along behind them. Well, how about having God's wisdom and mercy and love trailing you? Well, it is. You've always got an escort. You're always surrounded and you always have an escort. And it's always good, and it's always God. We just have to raise our vision. And remember when Elijah's servant went out and said, oh, what shall we do, Master? We're surrounded. Ah. And then Elisha prayed that God would open his eyes to show him that they were surrounded by chariots of fire. That God had all the spiritual forces there that were much bigger than the army of the king of Syria. And we just have to remember that. We have to raise our vision. We have to know that God directs our paths. He supplies our needs. He gives us the desires of our heart. He protects us. He surrounds us. So that when it looks like the world is a big mess and we can't deal with it, well, we don't have to deal with it all. We deal with the parts we can deal with, and then God comes through and does everything else. So we just have to raise our vision. And if you have to get that soundtrack of Chariots of Fire, and have it playing in the background in your kitchen, go right ahead. That might be a good reminder. As a matter of fact, I think I'll download a few of those songs, play them in the car when I'm driving along. I haven't even watched that movie since it came out, like, what, 40 years ago or something. I had to go watch it again. Okay, let's get back to work here. I'm rambling along. Okay, Psalm 139, verse 1 again. O Lord, thou hast searched me and know me. Thou knowest my down-sitting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compass me, is surround my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, O Lord, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me. And that's another word that means to surround or enclose or secure. You secured me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. You are my security detail and you're doing a dang good job at it. Keep it up. Proverbs 3. We better wrap up here. I could go all day, but we have several more, but I'll keep moving. Proverbs 3, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Proverbs 3:13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver. You can do a lot with silver. And the gain thereof, the gain from wisdom, is better than the gain from fine gold. You can accomplish a lot in the marketplace with silver and gold. You can buy stuff, you can invest in things, you can do all kinds of stuff with silver and gold. But what you can get from the wisdom of God is even more. She, wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. That's a lot, because we all have a lot of stuff we'd really like to have, or stuff we'd like to do, or things we'd like to accomplish. And you can do a lot of that with silver and gold and rubies, but what you can accomplish with silver and gold and rubies is nothing compared to what you can accomplish with the wisdom of God. Verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She, wisdom, is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. Happy is everyone that retaineth her. So he doesn't just hear her, but retains her or holds her fast. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. So you're wondering how good the wisdom of God is? Well, it's good enough to form our planet. That's some pretty good engineering. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up. The clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them, God's wisdom and knowledge, depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in the way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken or being caught. See, the Lord is our confidence, and that's where we have to focus our thinking. We have to look beyond our own ability to sort things out and the set of circumstances we're in to God's ability to give us wisdom and direct our paths and get us into ever greater circumstances. Now, there are times where you may do the same thing for a long time. Moses spent 40 years raising sheep in Midian, but then God opened great doors for him to spend 40 years leading the children of Israel through the wilderness to the promised land. So there are times you may be in the same set of circumstances, but there's no indication Moses ever was without food or without roof over his head, even if it was made of canvas, because they tended to live in tents, even though he's used to living in the palace. But God got him what he needed, and God will get us what we need. And he'll continue to direct our paths, supply our needs, and give us the desires of our heart. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. Here we go. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 1. Actually, let's go to verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. Simply returning to God. They'd been wandering all over with the Egyptians and getting into all kinds of trouble. But in returning and rest shall you be saved, and in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And they would not. They weren't willing to listen to that. But that's where our real strength is not how loud we can shout or push people around. I mean, sometimes you got to shout and push people around, but the vast majority of our walk with God, we want to quietly be confident in God. And that's where the real inner strength is. A lot of times when people are loud and pushing around, it's just because they're so scared and insecure, they feel they have to make a lot of noise and bluster. Whereas in quietness and confidence is our strength. The more we can get it through our heads that God's going to take care of us, so I can quietly pray, quietly be confident, quietly expect his deliverance, then what's it say in that song? The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. It's not in the scriptures, but it's true. Everything else sort of fades away. All the stuff everybody else is worried about just fades away because we trust God. Okay, quietness and confidence shall be your strength. And John 16, here's a great record, just a reminder of how we can go to God. John 16, verse 23. But before I do this, can you think of anything Jesus Christ asked God for he didn't get? I think the only example is when he said, let this cup pass from me, let yet not my will but thine be done. So perhaps God would have let that cup pass for him, but Jesus Christ said, I'm going to do your will. But everything else, when he asked for it, when he prayed, when he ministered, when he, you know, told his disciples to go out and feed the multitudes with a few loaves and fishes, God always did it. So let's look at John 16, verse 23. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. He's talking about the future after they've received the gift of Holy Spirit. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask what? The Father in my name, he will give it you. So they were to ask God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Meaning it was just like Jesus Christ asked for it. Just like Jesus Christ asked for it. And that's why when we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, we have to realize God's going to respond just like he responded to Jesus Christ. So John 16, verse 23, then verse 24, hitherto you've asked nothing in my name, because they just asked him directly. Now he's saying, quit asking me, I'm leaving. Ask God in my name. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall what? Receive, that your joy may be full. So that has to be the attitude we have when we pray and when we looking forward to whatever else is the next chapter in our lives. I mean, Peter's got a brand new chapter. Peter, I was explaining, I'm giving up my place in D.C. and going down to my place in Central Virginia to live. So it's a new chapter. It'll be great. I'll still go to D.C. probably most weeks, but my focus of my life's changing. So it's a new chapter. When you have a new chapter, you can get worried, you can get anxious, or you can just pray for the great things God's going to open. You know, Brian's got a new job. He's got new adventures. Mary Rose had a job which was seasonal and ended, so she's got to figure out her new adventures. And God will direct our paths for every one of us. And rather than approach it with fear, worry, or we don't understand, just go out there praying that God will open great doors. He'll direct our paths, supply our needs, give us the desires of our hearts, open the doors for us to minister to people that want deliverance. and just see what great doors God opens. It's a wonderful life. Hey, there's a movie about that, isn't there?
That's coming up.
We usually play it at Christmas. It's a great movie. It is a wonderful life. And you know why it was a wonderful life? He realized things were a lot better off than he thought they were. He just needed a little perspective. And that's a good theme in the movie, and it's a great theme for life. We all have so much to be thankful for. So that time when things aren't going the way you want, the first thing to do is stop and make a list in your head of at least, you can't do all of them, but quite a few things you're thankful for. And that'll give you some perspective that, yeah, God has been taking care of me. So it shouldn't be a big deal for him to take care of this next problem. Okay, Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3:12. 312 happens to be the area code in Chicago, but I'm not going there anytime soon. It's just an observation. Ephesians 3, verse 12. In whom, in Christ Jesus our Lord, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Or we have confident access, or we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Isn't that something? We can approach God with freedom and confidence. Absolutely. Because through what Jesus Christ did, we can go boldly. Like, let's say you're going to the bank and your bank account has never had more than 50 cents in it. You won't very boldly go up to the teller and try to cash a check for $100. But let's say some rich relative, you know, deposited $1,000 in there for you. Now you go boldly up to the teller and say, I'd like $100. Well, Jesus Christ paid for our sins and made us righteous before God. So when we pray, we go boldly and confidently because everything's been paid for. Everything's sitting in our spiritual bank account. We just got to draw it out. And that's what we do when we pray. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. That's why that word for ask for things from God is often translated as demand. You don't have to be rude, but you can demand it. And think of it. If you go in the bank and the money's in there, you may not be nasty about it, but you sort of won't take no for an answer. Here's my account. It says I got $1,000. I'd like 100. Oh, no, you can't. I'd like 100. Let me talk to the manager. I'd like a, because it's yours. you're not going to leave till they give it to you. Well, when we pray, it's ours. To have our needs supplied has been paid for by Jesus Christ. So we should expect it. Philippians 3. Another great record. Philippians 3 and verse, let's see. Philippians 3, verse 3. For we are the circumcision, meaning spiritually, not physically. And God just used the word circumcision to refer to his people, whether they were Judeans that were physically circumcised or Gentiles who weren't physically circumcised, but their hearts were circumcised by getting born again. So we are the circumcision, which do three things. We worship God in the Spirit. So let's just speak in tongues like crazy. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. Let's be full of joy for what we have in the new birth and the even greater things we'll have when Christ returns. And number three, have no confidence in the flesh. And that's the hard one, because we're constantly facing people and situations and circumstances. And we have to deal with them, but our confidence should be in God. You know, let's say you want to do a business deal because you got to make the business work. Well, you got to deal with this person and that supplier and this employee and that other guy and this woman who's really smart at this, and do your best to work with them. But your confidence is that God will come through for you. And if that group of people don't work, God will find others for you. Or any other area of life. Do your best, but realize your confidence is in God, not in that one person or that one set of circumstances or that one organization, but it's God. So again, let's read that. We are the circumcision, verse 3, which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. And then one to wrap up here in 1 John. See, we'll get done before breakfast here. I mean breakfast tomorrow. You may not have had breakfast today, and that's okay. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5 and verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, and we know his will two ways, by the written word and by revelation, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Everything we ask for, God will come through for. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for the delightful direction we can have in our lives when we look to you. Thank you that we know you direct our paths. We know you supply our needs. We know you give us the desires of our heart. We know our thoughts are established when we turn our concerns over to you. We know if we lack wisdom, we can ask you. We know everything we do prospers when we meditate on your word. We know you'll even rebuke the devourer for our sakes. We know that every morning we can pray and you'll lead us in a plain path. We can expect you to bless us. It's even better to trust in you than princes. We know you surround us with your blessings and your care. We know you're our confidence. We know you keep our foot from being taken. We know we can quietly and confidently trust you, and that we can pray in the name of your Son. We thank you that we can boldly come to you with freedom and confidence, and that we don't have to have confidence in the flesh. And the confidence we have is that if we ask anything according to your will, you hear us and we receive what we've asked for according to your will. So thank you for these wonderful saints. May we pray for one another and look to you and trust you and continue to grow in this great laboratory of life by putting your word on in our hearts and minds and seeing how wonderfully you take care of us. So may we pray for one another and look forward to your Son's return and to when we can meet again in 2 weeks. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.